Amen. So there in John 4, keep something in John 4. We're going to come right back, but go over to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Of course, this being Christmas Eve's Eve, we got the Christmas sermon coming tonight. And I want to start out by talking about, you know, one of the themes of Christmas is, of course, the birth of Christ, the virgin birth, all of that. But we often think about that in terms of the fact that Christ was given to us as a gift. You know, that's why gift giving is a big theme around Christmas. You know, in case any of the kids are wondering, why do we get gifts on Christmas? It's not just because mom and dad love you and love to rack out, you know, rack up the credit card and spend a bunch of money, right? It's because there's actually some symbolism behind that. You know, we give gifts one to another because of the fact of that God, you know, we don't know that it was December 25th, right? But we acknowledge the fact that at some point God sent his son, made in the likeness of man, to be born of the virgin so that he could live a perfect sinless life and die for our sins and be buried and rose again and all that. So, you know, I want to kind of talk about gift giving this evening and just kind of use that theme as the kind of the Christmas service tonight. And if you would look there in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where Paul wrote, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And of course, you know, that's something we often hear people say, hey, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's something you should keep in mind. You know, this is not exactly the thrust of the sermon here, but that's definitely something you need to keep in mind, especially this time of year. You know, especially if children kind of have an attitude where it's all about getting. You know, that's kind of how you know you cross the threshold into adulthood, is when you're giving out more gifts at Christmas than you're receiving more gifts, right? Now you're the one who's writing to mom or from mom, from dad on the label and everything like that. But, you know, we as parents often get more out of that than the children do of receiving something. We're more blessed to give a gift to somebody. We like the joy it brings to them. We enjoy giving gifts to other people because of what we receive in return. You know, the joy of having done that. And that's no coincidence that we feel that way, because Jesus said, hey, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus is one who definitely understood that. He's one who, you know, gave it all. He gave his life, literally, so that we could receive eternal life. And that's the gift that I want to focus in on tonight, is the gift of eternal life. And if you would go over to John chapter 4, verse 10. You know, if there's anything you could receive in this life, that the greatest gift that you could receive more than any other is the gift of eternal life. If that's the only thing you ever receive for the rest of your life, you know, you got saved, you received the free gift of eternal life, you know, no one after from that day forward acknowledged a birthday or an anniversary or Christmas, or just never, no one ever gave you a gift again after that. Look, you've got the greatest gift anybody could ever have. And I just want to remind us tonight of the gift that God gave us in his son, and the gift that we receive through him, that is eternal life. Because that truly is the greatest gift that any of us could receive. Now you're there in John chapter 4, look at verse 10. He said, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him, and he would have given thee living water." He's saying, look, if you'd ask for me, I would give you living water. You know, and of course, we're going to come back to this passage, so keep something there. But if you want to go over to Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter number 2. So Jesus is saying, look, you should ask for the gift that I'm going to give. You should ask for what I can give unto you, right? And that's really, again, the greatest gift that we could have. And that gift is eternal life. That is the gift of God. And we understand that that's something that God gives to us, that eternal life is a gift, that it's not something that we work for. You know, if you're in this room tonight, and chances are 99% of the people in this room are saved, you've come to the place where you understand that salvation is not something that you work for. It's something that's freely given to you. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God. And we you know, there's many, many passages we could talk about that. And, you know, we could go to Romans chapter 5 and talk about how the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So salvation is that free gift. That's what we want to focus on tonight. But we have to understand that, you know, just because we receive something freely, that doesn't mean that it didn't come at a price to somebody else. You know, that's why you should always, you know, be grateful for the gifts that you receive this time of year, and never turn up your nose and say, well, that's not what I wanted, or I wanted something else, or, you know, have a bad attitude about what you get, because of the fact that, you know, that did come at a price. You know, I don't care if you get the ugly knit sweater, or you get the wool socks, or you get a new pair of, you know, jeans or something like that, you get just some, you know, the not so fun gift. You don't get the flashy, you know, gizmo or whatever, but you get something. You have to understand that you should still be grateful for that, because of the fact that whoever gave that to you, it cost them something. You know, I remember the first, when we first moved to Michigan, my mom moved us out there. You know, she went to Goodwill and literally bought our presents in front of us. And we didn't even know it. She's like filling up, she's just shopping at Goodwill and she's putting in clothes, because that's all she could afford. That's what we needed. So on Christmas, you know, Christmas came around. That was, you know, that wasn't the most exciting Christmas. But I'll tell you what, in northern Michigan on December 25th, you appreciate the wool socks. You appreciate the ugly sweater. You appreciate the used jacket from Goodwill. You know, we didn't get the Nintendo. We didn't get the Game Boy. We didn't get all the cool things that all the other kids get. But you know what? We got the things that we needed. And, you know, I don't remember anybody in our family having a bad attitude about it. You know, and later, I that stuck with me over the years, because I remember, look, that's what my mom could afford. That's what she could give us that year. And, you know, that gifts come at a price. So, you know, obviously the greater the gift, the greater the price. So think about, if eternal life is the gift of God, consider the price that was paid for it. You know, and part of the virgin birth, part of the Christmas story, that is, you know, that gift being paid. We often just associate it with, you know, the death on the cross and the resurrection. And look, that's part of the price too. But none of that would have been possible if Christ hadn't first humbled himself and become, you know, born in the lowly manger and all of that. You know, that was part of the price of that gift that was paid, was his birth as a babe. So remember that it came as a gift, right? Or it came at a price. All gifts do. The Bible says in Galatians 1, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God and our Father. So yes, you know, the greatest gift we can receive is eternal life. But remember, the only reason we're receiving it is because Christ, what? Gave himself for our sins. Okay? And look, I know this is elementary. I know this isn't anything new to us. Okay? This might not be the exciting new, you know, Christmas sermon you were expecting, but this is what we need to be reminded of. And this is the time of year that we observe these things and focus on these things and we think about these things. You know, a lot of times we can get distracted by everything that goes on in the world around this time of year. You know, we can get distracted by the giant inflatable Santas and, you know, the Christmas lights everywhere and, you know, the tins full of popcorn and all the, you know, the candy canes and everything else. And look, all those things are fine and good. Well, maybe not the inflatable Santa Claus, right? That's another sermon. Right, but all the things that come along, all, you know, the commercialism, just all the materialism, everything that comes along with Christmas, you know, we can kind of lose sight of what it's really all about. And look, a lot of the world does this. They try hard to make Christmas about something else, don't they? You know, but it's got Christ right in the name, Christmas, right? It's Christmas. You know, they want to call it Xmas in some places, right? They don't want to acknowledge God at all. It's like, well, then go find another holiday. You know, go find some other day of the year where you go do all the things that you do. Go hang your mistletoe some other time of year. So I'm preaching this. Again, I know it's not new, it's not exciting, but this is what we have to be reminded of more and more, is that the greatest gift we can receive is eternal life. It came at a price, and part of that was, you know, the whole life of Christ, his birth, his life, and his death. If you look there in Titus chapter 2, look at verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So again, how did we receive this gift? Because of the fact that Christ came and gave himself for us. You know, salvation's a gift. We love it. It's the greatest gift we can receive, but it came at a price. And salvation is a gift. We understand that. But and what I want to emphasize more this evening is the fact that what makes it such a great gift is the fact that it's a gift that keeps on giving. You know, salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving. It's not, you know, we get saved and it's not like, well, I'm glad I got that over with. You know, salvation is something that we benefit every single day. Of course, you know, we're going to benefit in eternity because of the fact that we're not going to go to hell. We're going to go to heaven. And our souls are saved. You know, that's that one thing. Obviously, is the greatest aspect of that gift. But I wanted to point out a few other things tonight to show us that even beyond that, salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving. There's so many other benefits that come along with being saved, other than just not going to hell. Now that's, believe me, if there were no other benefits, that alone would be worth it. You know, that would be, we couldn't ask for anything more. But you know what? God is so good. God is so gracious. God is so loving that there's other benefits that come with being saved. And I want to just look at that, how salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving. If you would, go back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 10 is where we read where Jesus, you know, he told her at the end there, give me, he said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me any drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. We'll pick it up in verse 11. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? So this is kind of going over her head, right? He's saying, look, if you know who I was, you'd ask for me for water, and I'd give it to you, and you'd never thirst again. She's saying, you don't even have a bucket. You don't even have a string. You don't have a rope. How are you going to get any water at all? Verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Again, because salvation is what? A gift that just keeps on giving. He's saying, look, you drink of this water, of you know the water that I'm going to give you, you'll never thirst again. The gift that I give is a gift that just keeps giving all throughout your life. Okay, he said, you'll never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So how is salvation a gift that just keeps on giving? How is it something that we benefit from throughout our whole lives and not just in salvation? We'll go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. One way in which salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving is the fact that when you get saved, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Meaning you're eternally secure every day, no matter what you do. You couldn't lose your salvation if you wanted to. It's stuck to you. You know, I remember I heard an illustration years ago. He was so sure of his salvation that he would swing from a rotted grapevine over hell. He'd be willing to grab onto some little piece of string and swing right over hell because he said, I know I'm saved. I couldn't go to hell even if I wanted to. You know, that's one way that salvation is a gift that keeps on giving. Every single day you wake up, no matter what you do, whether you're living for the Lord or you're living for the flesh, whether you're doing what you should do or whether you're doing what you shouldn't do, salvation is just keep on, it just keeps giving you. It's still that well in you that's still springing up into life everlasting. You're still never going to thirst for salvation again because salvation is eternal. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're in Ephesians chapter 1. He said in Ephesians 4, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. How long are you sealed unto? Until the day of redemption. Not meaning when we get saved, but when we get our new body, when we're, you know, when we are in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when we are transformed, when we are with Christ, caught up together in the clouds to meet him. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. That's the day of redemption. In whom we also have attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know, it's the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment, is the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is the sealing of promise that we are going to go to heaven no matter what, that we are going to receive that new body. We're going to be made new in Christ Jesus. You know, and that's something that we have every single day. Look, we benefit from that every day. Because here's the thing, if you could lose your salvation, you would. If we could lose our salvation, everybody here would be damned to hell. Because we break God's law probably every day to some degree or another. And so, you know, that's why it's the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, that's not something we're going to lose. It goes on, it says in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You know, it's the down payment. We haven't got the whole thing yet. You know, we haven't got the new body. You know, we haven't got that new mind and all of that. We haven't gotten all that, but we have the earnest. We have the down payment, right? God's serious about you know, redeeming us. He's not just kind of, oh, maybe I'll get to it eventually. You know, that earnest, you know, if you ever bought a home, that's probably, you know, ringing some bells, right? What's part of buying a home, part of that process is putting down the earnest money, right? Showing them, hey, I'm serious about buying this house. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit is God's earnest towards us. I'm serious about taking you to heaven. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow through. You're going to go there and you're going to get that new body, which is the earnest inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, the other thing I want to point out here is that, you know, another way in which, you know, salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving is not only because we're sealed, but because we're also sealed, we also have an inheritance. If you look there again in verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We've got something coming. I mean, look, we're already going to heaven, and that's pretty good. But God just says, you know what, I'm going to put a little bit more on top. You know, it's like you get that kid that gets that big old piece of cake or something. You know, we go and get that big old sundae, and it's got everything on it. And then some, you know, so you know what? You want a little bit more whipped cream on there. You know, we went to the caroling the other night with my daughters, and we had cocoa and cookies afterwards. And they don't know, get that every day. You know, we try to take it easy on the sweets with them, but they're there. You know, and they like, Dad, can I have some cocoa? I'm like, sure. You know, we get them the cocoa. I'm like, hey, do you want some whipped cream on that? You know, they weren't expecting the whipped cream. They didn't wake. All they were thinking was cookies and cocos, right? Did I catch you off guard with the whipped cream? Oh, no. She said, no. She's like, yeah, I was expecting it. She was playing me. She's like, oh, I had no idea, right? Well, I guess so, right? Right? But that's, you know, salvation's like that cocoa, right? We're just, wow, man, hot chocolate? I don't deserve this. And then God's just like, you want some whipped cream too? Like, yeah, pour it on. Just pile it high. You know, I'll say when. You know what I mean? Shh, just keep it going. Look, that's what we have. You know, not only are we sealed, not only are we saved, but we also have an inheritance. You know, it's the icing on the cake, so to speak, right? We have an inheritance. We've obtained it. If you would, go over to Colossians chapter 1. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels. And notice he's speaking there in present tense. He says, ye are come unto Mount Zion. You know, this is Mount Lemon over here. This is Mount Bullhead. This isn't Mount Zion. Right? You say, well, it's saying it's present tense. Yeah, because we have the promise. We're sealed. We already have we've already been purchased. You know, we already have that redemption. We already have that promise of the Holy Spirit. It's as if we're already there. In God's mind, it's like we're already in heaven. We might as well be there right now. It's such a sure thing. This inheritance is already there. Kind of like Karen just a minute ago. She's like, yeah, of course I was expecting the whipped cream. You're my dad. I know how you are, right? I wasn't going to get just straight cocoa. There's going to be a big old pile of whipped cream on that, right? Well, in God's eye, he's like, of course you're going to get the inheritance. Of course you're going to, you are come unto Mount Zion. You are come unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Not we're going to be, we are. And to the God of judge of all, and to the spirits of just man made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You're there in Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 12. Excuse me. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Again, what have we've gotten more than just salvation. We've gotten what? An inheritance. We've been made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, salvation is a gift that's just going to keep on giving. Not just in terms of not going to hell, but when we get there, God's just going to pile it on even thicker. I mean, we can't even begin to imagine what heaven is going to be like, what eternity is going to be like. If you would, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, people were asking me recently, there's been some sermons that have been preached, and I don't know about this, you know, I haven't really studied it all out. I can kind of see where people are coming from. They said, do you think there's going to be mansions in heaven? You know, and I've listened to a couple of these sermons and said, well, I could definitely see where people are coming from. You know, I still kind of hold the belief that we are going to get mansions, but the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, mansion, no mansion, you know, we're going to get something. Heaven's going to be, it's going to blow our minds. Whatever, you know, it's not like you're going to get to heaven and be like, oh, you know, you're not going to get there like, oh, I thought there was going to be a mansion. Oh. You know, you're going to get there and it's going to be amazing. I know there's going to be streets of gold. There's going to be gates of pearl. I know some definite things about heaven and how it's described. I mean, there are some things that we do know for sure. And those few things that we know are pretty cool. I mean, we know we're coming to an innumerable company of angels. We're going to be there with all the saints in light. We're going to be stand in the presence of God and the presence of Christ. Eventually, we'll God the Father will make his dwelling with men, you know, after the millennium. I mean, there's just so many things that are going to take place. You know, what I'm saying is this, is that salvation is the gift that just keeps on giving. You think, well, I'm going to get to heaven, and that's it. No, once you get to heaven, it's only gotten started. Once you get to heaven, that's just the beginning. There's going to be so many more things that are just amazing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, we don't know everything that God has in store for us. But I know that it's going to be amazing. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, Paul talked a little about this in 2 Corinthians. He talked about how he was caught up into the third heaven, and he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words. He's saying, I was hearing things, I saw things which are not lawful for me to utter. He's like, I know things about heaven that I'm not allowed to tell you. Because you'd probably just spend the rest of your life, like, just, you know, staring up in the sky. You'd probably just be permigrating the whole time and not get anything else done. You'd probably just want to hurry up and die so you could get there, right? But, you know, heaven is just going to be amazing. It's because salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving. Even after this life is over, there's just going to be more and more and more. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. He said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also as I am known. Look, we look through a glass darkly right now, don't we? That's why I don't really get caught up on if people have different opinions about, you know, is heaven going to be like this or heaven going to be like that? Because, you know, a lot of it's just is just conjecture, or, you know, it's just people speculating. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there are some things we know, but there's a lot of things where we can kind of make things out about heaven. But one thing I know for sure is that when we get there, you know, it's going to be things that we couldn't have ever imagined that heaven, or are going to be things that are in heaven. So this is another way in which salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving. You know, it gives every day because of the fact that we are sealed under the day of redemption. We have the earnest of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a gift that we get every single day. Every day that you don't lose your salvation because you can't, you know, that's just salvation continuing to just being a gift that keeps on giving. When you get to heaven, you think, well, now, okay, the gift's over, right? I got eternal life. You know, I was sealed, I'm redeemed now, and now I'm here, and that's it though, right? This is where it ends. Nope, that's where even more gifts keep coming. More salvation just brings more amazing things, right? But here's another way in which salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving. Eternal life is just a well of water just springing up unto life everlasting. If you would, go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You know, another way in which salvation is a gift that keeps on giving is the fact that while you're here, not only are you sealed and on your way to heaven, but you have opportunity to earn rewards here on earth. You know, you're not just saved so you can just, you know, you got your fire escape, right? Your ticket's punched, you're on your way to heaven. You know, you still have opportunity while you're here to make heaven even greater of an experience for yourself, to go there and to be rewarded for the works which you have done. Now, if you would, you're going to Colossians chapter 3. And people, I think, lose sight of this. You know, this is something I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it tonight, because I know I talk about this quite a bit here. But it's because I think people lose sight of it. You know, we kind of get into church and we get into our Bibles and we're kind of living the Christian life, but we might be tempted to think, well, why am I doing this? What's the point of it? You know, why live for the Lord? You know, why have these standards? Why go out soul winning? Why do all this work? You know, well, because God will reward you for it. You know, we have to be reminded of that. Otherwise, you know, Christian life might turn into a drudgery. You might burn out and fade away. If you forget that there's, you know, that the laborer is worthy of his reward, the Bible says. Jesus said, blessed are the men which shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. Why? For behold, your reward is great in heaven. He's saying, look, there is a reward in heaven for those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, and that, look, that's not the only way you can earn rewards. That's just an example. I'm just pointing that out because Jesus did say that people are rewarded in heaven, aren't they? That there are rewards. And we think, well, that's too good to be true. I know, but it is. You know, it's that good. That's how salvation is a gift that keeps giving. You're like, oh, I got saved. You know, surely that's all more I could ask for. Oh, I get to go to heaven, and heaven's going to be amazing. Surely that's all that salvation affords me. Oh, I can't lose my salvation. That, you know, what else could salvation profit me? Well, how about you could also get rewards every single day? You can earn rewards for living for the Lord. And this is something the Bible talks a lot about. You know, we could go to 1 Corinthians 3. We won't. I'll just read to you how Paul said that every man's work is going to be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. He said, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. He shall receive a reward. And you know, this is something we have to keep in mind in the Christian life, that there is a reward coming to us for our labors. That's why we should get involved. Not just because it's the right thing to do, because of the fact that there is a reward. And look, you don't want to get to heaven and miss out on this, because it's eternity. This is it. This is the one chance you have to earn rewards. And look, when you get there and everybody else has got their rewards and you got nothing, that's going to be a long time in eternity. Well, I'll just be happy to be in heaven. I'm sure you will. I'm sure we're going to be pouting about it in heaven. But we will look around and go, man, I could have gotten a lot more done. And not just the rewards too. I mean, just think about when you finally see Christ. I don't think there's going to be a single person here who's going to look Jesus in the face and say, yeah, I did enough. Nobody. I don't care how much you did. I don't care if you were the most zealous Christian on earth. You're not going to get there and say, yeah, I did enough works. You know, I probably did too much. I could have probably scaled it back and you know, done some more things that I wanted to do. You know, I could have spent more time on the lake than serving as God. No one's going to say that. Everyone's going to look at Jesus and say, man, I could have given him so much more of my life, right? So, but don't let it be, you know, well, get there and say, well, I didn't give him anything. You know, we need to learn to the fact that, you know, there are rewards to be earned in heaven. We should get that insight now, not then, because then it's too late. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing, he said, look, this is something you need to know. This is why I'm touching on this. This is why I'm bringing this up, about how salvation's still a gift that keeps on giving. You need to know this. You need to get this drilled into our heads. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You need to know that there is a reward in heaven that we need to earn. Jesus said, I would come quickly, and behold, my reward is with me to give every man according to his works. Say, yeah, I got my whole life to serve Christ. I'll get to that later. Look, it's going to go by like that. It's going to go by so fast. And you say, well, I'll serve Christ later on. I'm just going to kind of do what I want the first few decades. Yeah, but you know what? You might not have those decades. No one's promised tomorrow. You know, our lives could end at any moment. We should serve Christ while we still can. Jesus said, look, I come quickly. And look, even if you lived a long, full life of serving the Lord, it's still going to be too cool. He's still coming quickly. So that's another way in which salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving. I want to look at one other way before we close tonight. And if you would, go over to Galatians chapter 5, a very familiar passage. Galatians chapter 5. So, you know, salvation is a gift that keeps on giving because of the fact that once you're saved, you're always saved. Every day you get up and you transgress God's commandments, you break the law of God's word, you sin, you're still saved. Salvation still is keeping you saved. That the atone for you. It's a gift that keeps on giving every day. When you get to heaven, you know, you're gonna all the rewards and the glory that God's gonna show us and give to us, that salvation is just gonna keep on giving. All through eternity, salvation is gonna be a gift that keeps on giving. But how about this? How about even on earth you could still have the fruits of the Spirit? Do you know the fruits of the Spirit are something that's reserved for God's children? And that's something that you can have every day. Now, it's not something you're guaranteed, okay? It's something that the Spirit, you know, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit bears this in your life. It's not something you just drum up. It's not just something you make yourself do. You know, as you get out of the flesh and you walk in the Spirit, you walk with the Lord, you know, God bears this fruit in your life. And this is the kind of fruit, look, people are clamoring for this in the world. There's people out there that are searching for these things high and low, and they can't find it. They're going to doctors, they're taking drugs, they're chasing pleasure, they're making their lives about money. They're thinking about all these because what they really want are these things. And what are they? Well, look at verse 22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I mean, isn't the world just looking for these things? They want joy, they want peace, they want love, they want all these things. But the Bible says that these are the fruits of the Spirit. Meaning, if you don't have, you know, if you don't have the Spirit, you know, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, then you're none of His. You know, if we aren't saved, these things aren't available to us. I mean, we can manufacture them, we can have them to some degree, you know, in a worldly sense. But to have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of God bearing these things in your life, you know, that's another way in which salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving. You know, we get saved, we're secure eternally. Heaven is going to be amazing. We're going to be rewarded for our works. And while we're down here doing those works and while we're on our way to heaven, we can also have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We can have all these fruits. They're available to us. You can see how salvation's a gift that just keeps on giving. It's not just a one-off. I got saved, I'm on my way to heaven. There's all these ways in which salvation profits us every single day, and yea, through all eternity. So if that's the case, back up, go to verse 16. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Why should I walk in the Spirit? Why should I crucify the flesh? So that you can benefit from salvation, for you can benefit by having these fruits in your life. We should want these things, and they're available to us, and not everybody gets them. It's a very privileged thing to have these things. So, you know, these are just a few ways, and we could probably sit around and brainstorm some other ways in which salvation is a gift that just keeps on giving every single day of our life and into eternity. And, you know, as I started out in the sermon, you know, I was reminding us that, you know, in this season of gift giving, you know, we should be grateful for gifts. Look, we should be very grateful for the gift that just keeps on giving. Be grateful for your salvation. If you would, go to 2 Corinthians, or go to James 1. Go to James 1. Be grateful for the gift. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know, I'm trying here, and probably not that well, certainly not to the degree which it merits, trying to put into words the gift that God has given us. I'm trying to just use the Bible and just show us, look, salvation's an amazing gift. It just keeps on giving in all these different ways. But when, you know, when we are in heaven, we finally have the fullness of life, when we have that new body, that new mind, when we understand all these things, you know, then maybe we'll be able to fully comprehend how amazing salvation is. But until then, it's an unspeakable gift. It's a gift that we can't even fully put into words. And even if I could, if any one of us here could fully describe what an amazing gift salvation is, we couldn't comprehend it. We wouldn't be able to wrap our minds around how amazing salvation truly is. It's an unspeakable gift. You know, this is just an attempt this evening to try to remind us of that gift, you know, that we receive eternal life as we think about the birth of Christ. You know, because a lot of people, they'll even acknowledge the birth of Christ, but then they'll have a lot of ideas. It means this. It's about just teaching us humility. Obviously, we learn humility through Christ. But it's a lot more than Christ didn't just come here and to be born in a manger to show everybody how humble He was. He came here to bleed and die, to give His life as a ransom for many. It's about salvation. That's the gift that God gave us. That's what we're acknowledging in the birth of Christ, that God was manifest in the flesh and that he gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You're there in James chapter 1. Look at verse 16. "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." So look, when we're talking about the gift of eternal life and how it's just a gift that just keeps on giving, we should be mindful of the fact that we need to be grateful for this gift. That it comes down from the Father of lights, that it's something that God has given to us. You know, we should be grateful to the Lord for what He's done. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, one way you can show your gratefulness is ministering to other people. You know, and you will. You know, you have the fruits of the Spirit. If you have love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, faith, meekness, and goodness, if you have all these fruits, you know, that is going to manifest towards other people in your life. That is going to, you know, you're going to do good unto other people. That's a way to show your thankfulness to the Lord. Of course, you know, we should get down and pray and sincerely and honestly thank God for the free gift of eternal life. You know, we should thank God for that unspeakable gift. But, you know, we should have an attitude of gratitude, right? The way you conduct yourself in life will show how grateful you truly are. You know, if you take time out to read your Bible, take your time out to pray, to go to church, to preach the gospel, to help your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you take the time to do what? To minister the same one to another. You know, to be gracious towards others, you know, to love others even as Christ has loved you. That will show whether or not you're truly grateful for this gift. And we should be grateful for this gift because, you know, we just scratched the surface tonight and looked at how salvation truly is a gift that just keeps on giving. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the free gift of eternal life, Lord. It's something we preach here. It's something that we preach to others out soul winning. It's something that we think about probably every day of our life, Lord. If we're reading our Bibles, if we're going to church, it's something that we're often reminded of, that the fact that we have eternal life through Christ. And Lord, help us to think about the fact that not only are we saved, Lord, but we benefit in so many other ways from the free gift of eternal life. The fact that we're sealed, Lord, that heaven awaits us and that there's rewards to be earned and we can enjoy the fruits of the Spirit even here on earth, Lord. We just thank you this evening, and Lord, help us to go into this new year with this attitude, this mentality of being grateful for this gift, Lord. And we pray you'd help us to show that through how we treat one another and those around us. We ask in Christ's name, amen. All right, we'll sing one more song before we go.